Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Lieutenant Jim Perez, Fairfield Police Department, Crime on the Mind. Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
How do you know someone is following you or tracking you or stalking you? It probably feels very creepy, but it's something that is probably really important for you to know and to be aware of. So we're going to talk about that today with Lieutenant Jim Perez of the Fairfield Police Department. He is our Crime on the Mind crime prevention expert here on the show. Good morning, Jim. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we spent a lot of the morning talking about, did you see the story out of Disney World, the teenager who was being tracked by the AirTag? Did you see that over the weekend?
Yes, the family has a beautiful day at Disney World, and at the end of the day, after a memorable evening, they discover that the daughter, the 17-year-old daughter, was being followed and by an AirTag, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the police, and I don't think they ever located it, but they did file a report with the sheriff's office down there, and
so
they do have it.
Yeah, they couldn't locate it because they had shaken all their stuff out, their jackets, their purses, everything. And the AirTag, I guess, fell out in the parking lot of somewhere over there, maybe, I don't know where it was, and they took off. So they literally couldn't find the AirTag. Yeah.
1.26 inches, that's the diameter of this AirTag. And so you have to be aware that if you're looking for it, that it's going to be a very small, round, disc-looking thing. By the way, with the battery in it, it lasts for a year. So if you can't locate it, you're going to be tracked all that time. And the thing that bothers me, but before that, you know, besides Florida, it happened in Waterbury, right? A man was arrested for stalking his ex-girlfriend. That wasn't too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now, because the state legislatures have prudently have now expanded the stalking law, it now becomes a felony with anybody with intent to kill, injure, harass, or intimidate. They use an interactive computer service, electronic device to follow someone. It is now a felony in the state of Connecticut. And that's
good.
Something that should be applauded. We should get kudos where it belongs. But I will say this. An AirTag is supposed to be made exclusively for finding lost items, right? And God knows we all have done that.
Right.
But unfortunately, the bad guy is turning around and they're using it for nefarious activities. Why is it so bad? It's because of the effectiveness of the Apple AirTag. So most devices that you use for tracking will require like GPS, cell service, all these things. You have to jump through hoops to actually make something effective. The uniqueness of the Apple AirTag is that it uses Bluetooth technology. That is, any device that's within 30 feet will track you right to that spot. However, now Apple has made it even more effective, and they're using what's called ultra-wideband technology.
What does that mean?
That means that they can literally track you down to inches.
Wow.
So, how does it work? It literally lets the stalker know. It points out points of interest. So in other words, like, let's say you spent 30 minutes in one spot, that's tagged now. Let's say you walk over 1,000 feet and you're in another place and you spend some time there, that's tagged now. And literally what you're using is you're using the vast power of everyone's cell phone, whether you know it or not. Your cell phone, my cell phone, is all a part of helping AirTag locate its items. So instead of concentrating on a tower like we used to, right, like a big telephone or a utility tower or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's using the power of everyone's cell phone to actually, that's what makes it so effective. So this is pretty, pretty intense.
It is really intense. Yeah.
Yeah. Apple is coming up with even more. Here's my problem with it, ready, from a law enforcement perspective. And it's a big problem. The problem is that, yes, you can find out whether you've been followed or not. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. It takes 8 to 24 hours. Before that, it took 3 days. They already came out with an update. We did this story a while ago. I don't remember when.
And you and I did it in January, yep.
Okay, so we talked about this already. And back then, it was up to 3 days. And at that point, they made a change from 8 to 24 hours. But let me tell you, 8 to 24 hours is a lifetime of being followed and chased and whatever, unwantingly. So now, update later on in 22, apparently coming up with more updates, I guess, to it. And they're going to address the 8 to 24-hour window. They're going to address that. They're going to set up some privacy warning during setup, so you'll be able to be warned. And they're going to make the warning sound louder so that you'll actually hear it and can track it back so you can actually find it. So here we are. Technology for the good, technology for the bad.
Exactly. So we're chatting this morning with Lieutenant Perez, and we're talking about how do you know if you're being followed or tracked. So AirTags, we've covered that. We've killed that. It's happening, unfortunately. But what about just in general, Jim? You know, how do you know if someone is following you home? How do you know if someone is parking outside of your home and tracking what you're doing on a week's basis? You know, how do you know those things?
Well, you have to be constantly – the first thing, and we've talked about this often, but you have to be aware of your surroundings, right, clearly. You can't be, you know, up in la-la land just staring straight and thinking about whatever. If you're really concerned about someone following you, when you move, they move. So if you're a pedestrian and you're walking and you suspect that someone is following you, you could simply just do something that you're not normally going to do. So chances are someone's been following you for a while. They kind of have your routine down. So what you want to do is you want to break from that. So if you're walking down the road and you normally take a right into a coffee shop, you know, keep walking straight, take a left, go somewhere else, and then turn around from a safe place and see if there's anyone coming at you. You usually can spot someone. If you're in a car and you're driving and you suspect that someone is following you, you're going to do the circle rule, it's called, right? The circle. I kind of just made that up, but okay. So
I like it. The circle rule. We're doing the circle rule, guys. All right. What's the circle rule? How do you do that?
Yeah, I'm going to explain it, right? That's great. I can make it up and then explain it. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a right turn in the corner. Uh-huh. Then you're going to take another right turn, and you're going to go in a perfect circle. If that car is still with you, chances are they're following you.
That's a good idea. I like the circle rule.
Yeah, it's just a simple method of being able to drive.
All right.
Now, let's zero in now on AirTags because that's, you know, really the subject of today and something that's really, 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 in my opinion, very important because what Apple has given the stalker the ability is to work without working. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. So, they don't have to do anything. The device does it all for you. You're literally watching it live on your phone. It's perfect for someone who's a stalker. Absolutely. It's perfect.
It's pretty bad. However, when an AirTag is activated, let's say they put it in your purse or they put it in your car and now and by the way, it's being used for different things. It's being used for tracking and stealing cars, especially high-end cars.
Right. I was saying, you put it in the gas tank. People are stealing cars. Yeah, it's crazy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, behind a bumper, you could tape it. You could do anything. Yep. It's so small.
Right.
It can be placed anywhere. And the sad thing is that anyone who owns an iPhone within that area is subconsciously helping these dopes.
Wait, pause. Why?
Because why,
if you have an iPhone, are you subconsciously helping them?
Because if an innocent person is walking by with an iPhone, remember, it uses Bluetooth technology, so it has to be within 30 feet. So picture a spider web, a big one, with people and phones all in their possession, and it's constantly pinging the phones of unsuspecting users.
That's
what makes it so effective. That's what makes it effective.
But here's my really quick question. So that makes sense, Lieutenant Perez. But so for this teenager, for example, it wasn't her AirTag. Why is it that she got pinged on her phone? Like, hey, just so you know, we've detected an AirTag. How does it? Melissa, what are you trying to ask him?
Because the AirTag is near her. It's within like 15 feet or 20 feet.
So why didn't it ping her earlier? I guess that was my question. Is why, you know, like,
that's,
I don't.
That's the problem. That's the problem that I have with Apple right now is that they have it so it pings 8 to 24 hours. Remember, before they had it ping within 3 days, they said, which is kind of ridiculous.
You did say that. Okay, 8 to 24 hours. So that girl went around for 8 hours around Magic Kingdom and had no idea there was an AirTag until 8. I see. That's so dumb.
That's right.
Especially because they're aware of it. They know what's happening. They're so aware of it happening.
It's something out of a spy novel, right? These are things that the NSA and the CIA used to do years ago, and now everyone's doing it, right? You can sit in the comfort of your home, watch a monitor, and track you your every move everywhere you go, and then use it against you. So here's the deal. Once it goes off, it will set off a audible sound and a notification on your phone telling you that you're being tracked or followed. At that point, there are things you have to do. Now, there are two major, very different cell phone technology, right? There's Apple phone, and then there's Android phone. So there's two separate ways to figure this all out and disable it. So let's go with iPhone first. If you have an iPhone and it tells you that it sends you a notification on your iPhone or your iPad that you've been that an AirTag is moving with you, then select continue on the notification. Then it's going to say tap to play sound. Play the sound. The sound should draw you exactly to where the iPhone is. I mean, where the AirTag is.
Okay.
When you have the AirTag, you tap it against your phone. Now you're using what's called NFC or near field communication, which is radio waves that are being transmitted over short distances. Then you select instructions to disable the AirTag, and it'll prompt you, and you disable it. That's one way. The other way is to grab a hammer and bash the you-know-what out of it and remove the power source, and you stop the stalking. However, if you're going to destroy it, try to save the serial number, because every single AirTag is traceable, just like a VIN number, back to just like a vehicle's identification number.
Oh, to a purchaser.
Yeah, that's right. You can track it back.
Interesting.
We can do that. Police can do that through a warrant or through a notification to Apple. And Apple's been very good with actually working with us on that. Now, that's for an iPhone. If you have an Android, it's a little bit different. With an Android, you have to download and install the tracker. You're going to have to play this over and over because people aren't going to, they're not going to get it the first time.
It's all good.
But
it's going to go up on a podcast. Don't you worry. Yeah, go on.
With an Android, you have to download and install what's called the Tracker Detect app from the Google Play Store. Once you do that, you have to turn on your Bluetooth. Then you open the Tracker Detect app on your device that you just downloaded. You're going to tap scan. Once you do that, it's going to tell you, you got something on you. Then you choose play sound, just like iPhone, and it'll lead you right to the source of the thing. And then it'll give you further instructions on how to disable. So
wow,
listen, this is a very quick overview of it.
It's a footnote version.
I think that's all that the listeners need to know to be able to effectively stop this. I think it's an insidious problem. It's a problem that it's a technology that we want to welcome, but that we're very hesitant to. And it's up to Apple to actually, I want to see notification within the hour.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I would update it to having the notification within the hour. And quite frankly, I Apple's going to wait basically until something awful happens, whether it's a murder or it's just a horrific story before they pull them. I got to be honest though with you, Jim, let's just go back to simplicity. I mean, I understand. I am that person. Okay. I lose my keys. I lose it all. I'm with you. I totally get it. But we've all survived up until an AirTag was ever made. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We all survived up until an AirTag was ever made, and maybe until we can better this technology, or maybe we can put some kind of blocks on it. I don't know, but this seems like it's already become such an issue. And we're going to wait for something horrific to happen before it's pulled. It's crazy.
And you're right. But I will tell you, it does have phenomenal properties. And I'm going to tell you how.
It does.
Or uses.
Right.
A mother used it. She placed it in her daughter's sneakers. And then she found that the bus driver took her to the wrong school. See, so there are.
No, there's a lot of good to it. Absolutely.
And I love it.
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's good too, Jim, if you think about the kids who you don't want to have cell phones at school. You're able to track where your kids are. I think there's a lot of great stuff to it. But I think we're gonna wait for something horrific to happen, and then Apple's gonna pull it and go, we need to fix this. Yeah. Well, we should have fixed it before this happened.
We've been lucky, but there have been arrests nationwide on individuals, specifically in the domestic violence arena, where they have actually taken people off the streets or stopped or found that these victims were carrying AirTags. And that's part of the reason why Connecticut has strengthened the law. And I think that's great. We need to stay on top of it. Now, if we can tackle juveniles and we can tackle these stupid bikers that are on the post road, that would be a phenomenal end to the year and a great fix for us, but that's a whole nother story.
That's
a whole different story
and a whole other
time, and we will get to it.
Oh, we will. We definitely will. Lieutenant Perez,
we will get to it.
I love the fact that we get to talk to you each and every week. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Have a great week.
Hey, thanks. You too, friend. Appreciate you.
The latest from the state capitol about your own neighborhood. Connecticut Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff stops by Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600.
Good morning, Bob Duff. Thank you so much for being here, Senator. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
I think this is our last Monday together for like a little bit.
I think
bit,
it might
it?
Be.
Aw, it's kind of sad.
You're breaking up with me.
No, I'm never breaking up with you. Ever, ever. No way. I love talking to you. You know, when they say a short session, man, you guys are kidding.
I know. It's hard to believe. It really is hard to believe.
It's over.
We started in February when it was cold out, and here we are in May, and it's still a little cold.
but it's still kind of cold, getting warmer.
But it is hard to believe it's been like 12 weeks already.
I know, it's unbelievable. It flies. And just so you know, Senator Duff, you are always welcome on the show. I just know you're a busy guy when you're not up in Hartford. So
I appreciate that.
Always
Thank
welcome
you.
Here, of course.
Thank you.
I do know the big topic today. I think at some point, either today or early this week, obviously the budget has to be voted on, and I know that's coming. My understanding, and again, I'm just checking to see if this is true. Did the bill, how big is this bill? Let's start with that. How big is it?
Well, still getting written, so I can't say right now. But it will, it could include a number of things. It could be broken up into bits, or it could be one big bill. A lot of it's already been discussed, so it's not like people aren't going to be aware of it. But it will be the budget. We actually have a budget, so these are actually just budget adjustments.
Okay.
Because when we passed the budget, last year we always passed a biennial budget, so it's a two-year budget. So technically we have a budget, but this is just budget adjustments. So that'll be that. It'll be also what's called the implementer, which implements the budget as well. So it basically, if there's a line item for $100 for X, for something, the implementer tells what that $100 goes for and how to use it, kind of a thing.
Okay, I remember the
So you have that. You have the bond bill, which is the borrowing portion of the budget. So, for example, we generally will say, the state can borrow up to $1.8 billion for school construction, for Urban Act money, for other types of things that, road paving, all those kinds of things, community college fix up, UConn things, capital projects. So you have that stuff, and you might have school construction in there, and I think that might be it. There may be one other thing, but that might be it. So it could be a large bill, but it could be also broken up into bits.
Okay. And when do you guys get access, guys and gals, when do you guys get access to this entire thing?
Well, we've been talking about it for weeks now. So it takes time to actually have the fiscal analysis folks and the lawyers write it up. It takes days. It's the nonpartisan people I'm talking about. We will probably get access to it at some point today.
Okay, and then you have a couple days to go through it just to make sure, or how does that work?
Well, it depends on which chamber goes first. So you have the House, maybe the House first and then Senate, or Senate first and House. And then we'll go through it. But again, we had a budget caucus on Saturday morning. So none of this stuff is new. And we'll just go through making sure it's, that the language is correct. But none of the stuff in here will be a surprise to folks.
Okay. We're talking this morning to Senator Bob Duff, just talking about the budget. So last year, when we talked about the implementer bill, I think pretty much it was really no surprise to anybody what was coming. I think the only thing that really got harped on was something that wasn't really discussed a lot, which was the funding that was going to be pulled from schools that had mascots that were connected to Native Americans. And I think that ended up getting a lot of news coverage because it really wasn't discussed, but it was put in there. Do you think anything is going to be added to this implementer bill? Do you suspect anything will get added?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's always policy issues that come up. We talked about that before we voted on it, so it wasn't a surprise. Maybe it was a surprise to maybe the media or others, but it wasn't a surprise to us who were voting on it because we knew it was in there. So I don't think so.
Okay. And then can we talk really quickly about the gas tax cut? We know that that's probably one of the bigger things that people were celebrating last week when the governor announced it. I'm curious, Senator Duff, I know how expensive it was just to give the 3 months, but then to now extend it to December 1st. I'm curious, why isn't diesel included? And the reason I ask it is because obviously we do have truckers who need it, but diesel's so essential to like the supply chain. Obviously, we don't have cargo ships here in Connecticut, but because of those cargo ships needing diesel, we end up spending more on grocery items or things being shipped from other countries or machinery on farms. They usually use diesel. Why is diesel not getting the cut as well?
Well, I think, like you said, you hit the nail on the head. It's a series of choices, and you want to just do the best you can on it. The gas tax cut will continue from July 1st. It won't end June 30th. Go July, August, September, October, November, and end on December 1st. And so I think, you know, you're just trying to make the best choices you can under the circumstances you have with the money you have to do. So, I think, look, we'd all love to cut as much as possible, but yeah, you only can do as much as you can do, and I think we can have the most impact by doing, you know, gasoline for motorists. If you did diesel, maybe you'd cut the gas tax a little bit less. And I think keeping it at 25 cents is more beneficial to consumers on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, is the idea of even like compromising? Like, what if the gas tax was only till till August, but it included diesel? I'm just trying to throw ideas.
Yeah, I can't get into specifics because I don't know. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Okay. All right. And Senator Duff is here. I know a couple of the things that are being touted by the governor in this current budget, tackling mental health, supporting child care, funding education. Of course, we're very focused on mental health here on the show. We've been talking about it. And of course, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. What specifically is being tackled in this budget for mental health?
Well, don't forget, we in Senate Bill 1, we tackled it in a big way. Senate Bill 2, we tackled early childhood education in a huge way. So we are focused on that as well. The House Bill 5001, which is, the House, their big bill, caucus bill, as well, focused on mental health, which we'll take up, obviously, before Wednesday. We have worked really hard, and we funded it, too. So, we're going to have a mobile crisis center vans, available for schools 24/7, or just available in general around the state 24/7. That'll be huge. We're expanding, access to school-based health centers for not only physical health but also mental health. So we're really trying to put our money where our mouth is and invest in these services. And as I said on the floor of the Senate, a lot of this are things that many people have been pushing for years. And we've done many mental health bills, but we know because of the pandemic this has become such a much bigger issue that people are actually paying attention to and they're focusing on. And so there's that opportunity, there's that opening to really to tackle this issue in a bigger way than we have in the past. And I think that you're going to see that reflected in this budget.
All right. State Senator Bob Duff, we thank you so much for popping on this morning. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Senator Bob Duff here on WICC.
What's going on in the Capitol and how it affects you? State Senator Tony Wong joins Melissa in the morning right now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Senator Tony Wong, thank you for being here. How are you?
I am great. Good morning. Never a dull moment up at the Connecticut General Assembly.
No, it sounds busy this week. It definitely does. We knew it would be that way because we're down to mere days before the legislative session is over. But today's topic is really about the budget. And I'm sure you heard we had Senator Duff on just minutes ago. And I'm just curious, is there anything in what was said earlier that may not be the same? I had asked, for anyone who didn't hear it, I had asked about how big the bill is. When will this get looked at? Are there any gotchas in the bill, to say the least? Anything that you wanted to comment on?
Well, it truly feels like deja vu all over again. Past years, we talked about big mammoth budgets, hundreds of pages being presented to legislators hours before we have to cast a vote on it. And unbelievably, it has happened again today at 4:30 this morning. We have a scheduled 9 a.m. finance, bonding, and revenue meeting to look at bonding and allocations and some aspects of the implementer, which is really the revenue, the money that's needed to fund these budgetary programs. Now, the Appropriations Committee will have their own budgeting process that's separate, but the bonding and revenue looks at where we're going to spend all this money and where is that money coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe that it landed and got presented to the ranking members at 4:30 this morning. 673 pages, 484 sections, which are issues and laws and policy that we now have to review before we have a meeting at 9 a.m. today to vote on it.
How do you know all of that? Is that because you're on the committee?
Because I'm on the committee.
Okay.
And we've been eagerly waiting for the whisper of the bonding and the budget. It seems only a few people know in that building. And again, you talk about transparency. You talk about accountability. You talk about process. I am a sitting state senator in many committees, and this is the first time I've seen this implementer and bonding package. It's remarkable that now we're going to have to cast a vote on it.
And it's like a pass-fail, right? You can't fix anything. It has to be like, I'm for it or against it.
No, there's 484 sections. Some of it has very good stuff, like school construction, special education excess cost. There's funding for a prevalence of gambling study. These are all very good things. Payment to our volunteer fire companies. But the problem is 673 pages of fine print, and there are some bad ones, right? Some are favors to particular entities that never passed the muster or even had a public hearing. And we call them rats, unfortunately, and unpleasant. It's a disservice to rats, rodents. But these are called rats that get inserted into a big budget agreement that people just miss.
I had brought that up. That's like the funding being pulled from schools that had the Native American mascots, right? Wasn't that technically in
absolutely,
the last
implementer? Okay. Absolutely. But for me, on a bigger basis is, you know, you're going to hear the big ticket items, tax cuts, gasoline tax. These are all important. And I may even support this revenue package. But the problem is transparency and process. It's a bad process. Mm. We're expecting to pass a bonding revenue that's going to affect residents of the state of Connecticut in less than 4 hours of reading. And then we're going to cast a vote and we're going to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down without a real opportunity to vet this, to really fully understand it. It really is a bad process. I wish I would say this was a rare entity, but as I said earlier, it's deja vu all over again. To me, it's a remarkable arrogance of one-party rule in saying, look, you don't need to know, just vote. And that's frustrating to me. So, again, let me be clear. This bonding package may have a lot of really good things in there from what I've been able to read, but I haven't been able to read the fine prints to find out where there may be rats in there that are favors and bad legislation that gets inserted by the powers that be. And that's the frustration is we're not getting the proper representation. And unfortunately, taxpayers and residents of Connecticut gets to bear the tab of mm-hmm. the tax bill and bear the impact of these policies that impact them without having representative, you know, transparency. It's unfortunate that it's happening over and over and over again.
So let me ask you something. We're talking to State Senator Tony Huang, because you're right. This does sound like this feels like deja vu, as I'm hearing from you. This is almost the same conversation we had last July. I'm curious, Senator Huang, if it was a Republican majority, if there was a Republican majority in Hartford, would these same things be going on?
And Melissa, if it was a Republican majority who did such an injustice to transparency and process, I would call that out as well. This is not about, you know, Democrat, Republican. It's about power going unchecked and a lack of respect for the people that are being impacted by these policies. So it doesn't matter. I mean, you have states that are across the country that are Republican dominated that do the same thing. You know, too bad
so
doesn't make a
so
right.
That was kind of my question is would it really matter regardless of who the majority is? Is this something that commonly happens every time an implementer comes up?
The problem is power is absolute. And if it's not being checked and it's not being held accountable, then we continue to do it. Because guess what? The challenge of you know, going through a deliberative process and having all shareholders give you viewpoints, it takes time. It takes deliberation. And we're jamming 484 sections into a 12-week session. Look, we've had bills in there that takes about 15, 16, 20 bills and put it all into one omnibus aircraft carrier, we call it, and you cast a yay or nay vote. I mean, the problem is it's convenient. It gets the job done. And those that are in power get what they want inserted in with generally good stuff. That's the frustration. And you're absolutely right. It's not a Democrat Republican thing. It's a power thing. And unfortunately, power unchecked. The only loser is the people that we're supposed to represent. And for me, I want to know what's in these bills. I want to be able to know that every tax dollar from our hardworking residents are respected and accounted for. Mm-hmm. There's some really good stuff here. But unfortunately, 673 pages plopped at 4:30 in the morning, and for us to now review it at 9 a.m., look, I'm
doesn't
a speed reader,
well.
But I'm not that fast.
Right. I mean, I don't know who would be, and if you were, well, God bless you, that's very quick. It certainly doesn't leave a good feeling in your stomach, that's for sure. And
It's a terrible process, and you don't hear about it, right? Because it just happens in a fall swoop.
Well,
we're
that's
going to vote
kind of
on
the,
a budget.
That's the other, you know? Yeah, that's the other question I have, Senator Huang. I know we're running out of time, but then how do you fix it? If this is something that has historically gone on for so long and there are senators like you who point out, hey, this is messed up, what can be done? What can really be done?
I think residents need to be more aware and not be caught by the top line of the tax cuts, which is the shiny object, but look at the impact of all the other aspects, because if the press release is coming from outside and the powers that be says this is a tax cut, this is what you're going to hone in on. But unfortunately, the process is flawed. Transparency is not there. And we really need to understand that. Look, normal people up and down Main Street, when you're presented with a 673-page document that's going to impact $24 billion of residents of Connecticut, you would expect more than 4 hours to read it. That's mm-hmm. the frustration. And look, I'm privileged to raise this point as a state senator. It's one of the greatest responsibilities we have as representative government. I don't want to beat it up, but obviously if I can simplify it, a real lack of transparency, terrible process, and an arrogance of one-party rule, whether it be Democrat, Republican. In this case, it's a Democratic Party that runs the state and the House and the Senate and the executive branch, and it's disrespectful to the people that are going to be impacted by these policies.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you bringing it to the forefront. State Senator Tony Huang, we thank you so much for always coming on the show and for talking about these things.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, and have a great, great week.
All right. You too, Senator Huang.